baby, we are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. So coming off of a winning show personally on Friday, so I'm going to try to bring that winning energy into today. It is the biggest football game of the year. We have the Eagles in Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. We have five total bets for that. We're going to be looking ahead to this weekend's college football action with Brad Powers, and we will be looking ahead to tonight's NBA action with John Mettler. So great big show plan for you guys today. Before we get into it all, if you like the little show that we do here, make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you hit that subscribe button as well. Lots of great content here on the Covers YouTube channel. So speaking about coming in hot, let's bring in my first guest of the day in his traditional Monday spot here, Jason Logan. We call him J-Lo around here. Coming off of another same game parlay winner last night. He's been crushing these over the past couple of weeks. J-Lo, how you making out?
It was good. It was good. Good weekend of NFL betting. And then the Sunday nighter all kind of played out like I thought it would. Josh Dobbs was making me sweat towards the end there. We had the under 225 and a half. I think he finished with 221. That last drive made me nervous. But we got there. Nice comeback win. And I took Broncos money line just to avoid the silliness of a Broncos Vikings game, because you knew that was going to happen. You knew there was going to be some silliness involved.
So before we get into the picks, what do you make of, I'm seeing a lot of chatter going around. I saw it last week and it got a lot of momentum last night after the game that we all owe Russell Wilson an apology. As we know, he was a big punching bag last year. He was awful last year and he's playing good this year. Both things can be true. So I call BS on that. What do you think? Do we owe Russell Wilson an apology?
Maybe we need to blame Nathaniel Hackett more. Let's say that. Let's pile on Nathaniel Hackett, because we're seeing he's not adjusting at all. I had that offense tailor-made for Rodgers in New York, and he's had a long time to figure out something for Zach Wilson. He's obviously not working with the talent, but I like Russell Wilson. I expected big things for him under the Sean Payton offense here. They're efficient. They're not blowing the doors off anyone right now, but he's having a better season because he has a better coordinator and a better coach there. So
very, very fair. Okay. Yeah. The Broncos have bounced back. Okay. Let's get into this game tonight. We have five total bets for the Monday night football game. My first bet, it is a bit of a weird one, but hear me out. I'm going to take the second half under 23 and a half points. That's over at DraftKings right now. A couple books have 22 and a half. Make sure you get the best number on this one. So check this out. The Kansas City Chiefs have gone under the second half total in all nine of their games this season. Their second halves this season are averaging just 14.1 combined points. Shockingly, the Kansas City Chiefs rank dead last in second half scoring with just 5.9 points per second half. Both Miami and Denver shut them out in the second half in their most recent games. Bringing it all together a little bit here, Philadelphia's defense tightens up in the second half. They're allowing just 9.7 points in the second half. Look for them to play ball control, try to milk that clock. Unless they're in a big hole, I do not think that will be the case. So I will take under 23 and a half in the second half for tonight's Monday Night Football game. J-Lo, your first bet. What are we looking at here?
We're going to go with Eagles and kind of dovetail on what you just said there. A big reason why the Eagles are so great in the second half, because they have long extended drives anchored by this running attack that just grinds and grinds and grinds and chews up the TOP. And that's what I expect again tonight. And that's why I like the Eagles here. +3, -115 out there. The market right now bounces between -2.5 and -3. The Eagles rushing game can get what it wants. It's going to dominate in the trenches. We look at this Chiefs defense right now, among the worst in the NFL in terms of yards allowed, in terms of EPA allowed, in terms of success rate allowed per run. They're going to get pushed around by the Eagles, and that's what the Eagles love to do in that second half, is just grind out teams. Philly's pass rush, too, going to come after Kansas City's O-line. Of course, Patrick Mahomes can make magic happen with his legs. However, they have allowed the 10th highest pressure rate, the most QB hurries, and they're up there in terms of QB hits as well, too. And I know this is one thing that Philadelphia has been focusing on this week. And then we get to the final thing with the Chiefs wide receiving core. Just, it's not what it was last year, not what it was in the Super Bowl. They've had a lot of bad drops. You're playing against a very good Eagles defense. And then also, too, it's expected to be a little wet and wild tonight, too. In the rain, a little tougher to to wrangle in those balls. And also I think this Eagle secondary, especially with the improvements that they made at safety, bringing over Kevin Baird from the Titans, he's a guy that can match up with Kelce and give him problems. And I think Holmes is going to have to look elsewhere. Those guys haven't been reliable. So I like the Eagles and the points here.
Okay, let us now take a trip to Prop City. I will get us started. I'm going to take Isaiah Pacheco to go under his rushing yard total of 49.5 yards. So Philly's rush defense, for my money, they are the best in the league, allowing just 3.7 yards per rush and the fewest rushing yards allowed per game to running backs. Only three running backs in 9 games have barely topped this number against the Eagles. They still haven't allowed a running back to get to 60 rushing yards against them. He's struggling too. He hasn't looked good recently. He's only averaging 3.69 yards per carry over his last 5 games. So I will take Pacheco to go under that rushing yard total. J-Lo, what do you got next for us?
Well, we're going to go, if we like the Eagles, and we got to like Jalen Hurts as well too. And I'm going with Jalen Hurts to have over 8.5 rush attempts. That's anywhere from, it was like minus 115. It's up to minus 124. Some places were as high as like minus 150. We're seeing this tick up. But Hurts, this is the healthiest he's been. He's had that wonky knee the last few weeks, kind of limit his role within the rushing game. They're coming off the bye. His knee is healthy. He's got the sleeve off of it. I expect him to be back as a guy that gets a lot of play calls. And then also, too, this is a very blitz-happy defense from Spags. Hurts rushed 15 times versus KC in the Super Bowl. And if we look at his matchups with other blitz happy teams this year, teams that are like top 5 in blitz rate, he's run 9 or more times in those games as well too. And then a lot of his projections calling for above the total of 8.5. My number was at 9.7, the ceiling of 10 plus. I think if Jalen Hurts is healthy, back at it here, he's going to make some plays. He's going to have some scrambling as well too, and go over 8.5 rush attempts.
Okay, I will bring it home for us. We're going to go under the radar for this one. We're going to take Kadarius Toney over 6.5 receiving yards, -105. I need to double and triple check that this was actually the number for Toney. But yes, 6.5 receiving yards. I'd like him to go over that. He doesn't get a whole lot of action out there, but he has topped this in 5 of his last 6 games, and he is making the most of his time on the field. He's caught 19 of 23 targets since week 2. He doesn't see a whole lot of snaps, but when he is out there, they do look to get him involved. And as we know, Eagles are getting lit up in the passing game. They're allowing 200.8 yards in the air to wide receivers. So maybe something KC will look to exploit by spreading the ball around. Okay, guys, if you're in the live chat right now, this is a monster game tonight. There's going to be a ton of betting action on it. So let us know what your best bets are for the game, and we will read a couple off as the show goes along. J-Lo, let's play a little bit of a game here. We're going to call it Your Take on My Take. As we know, I have a lot of takes. Some turn out to be pretty good takes. I think it was in week 2 where I said the New York Giants were an absolute embarrassment. That turned out to be true. And some turn out to be dead wrong, but that is the way it goes when you're on YouTube.com talking for a living, right? So a couple of New York Jets related ones. Big story yesterday broke about Aaron Rodgers potentially set to make a return here in December. So Ian Rappaport said that Rodgers is eyeing a potential return in mid-December, with the Jets' Week 16 game against the Commanders being a possible target. And my take on this is Aaron Rodgers returning this season would be an epic, epic, epic mistake for a bunch of different reasons. First of all, he's being completely set up to fail by this Jets offensive line. If he does come back, this offensive line is allowing the second most pressure. They've allowed the third most sacks. So I don't think he's going to have a lot of success if he does come back. Then take a look at their schedule between now and that potential return date in week 16. They play the Dolphins twice, and they host the Falcons and the Texans. They'll most likely be an underdog in 3 of those games. What's the best case scenario, though? They go 2-2? Maybe. Look at where they're at in the conference right now. They're in 14th place in the conference. There's a lot of teams between them and a playoff spot. So aside from a moral victory, maybe of doing something that no one else has ever done and maybe proving people wrong, there's not a whole lot for Aaron Rodgers to win here. I say sit out the full season, get healthy. Don't risk re-aggravating that injury challenged the Jets to improve that offensive line through the draft and free agency. So what do you think of my take that it would be an epic mistake if he comes back?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is a problem where you have Aaron Rodgers leaving a lot of things incomplete. Of course, what he was like, what, three snaps into his Jets career and this happens. Now he's, you know, he can't compete on the field. So he's left to compete with himself and his body, as well as the timetable that other athletes have had to do. This is just an ego thing for him, I think, just trying to get back on the field, trying to do the remarkable thing at his age, at his stage in his career. He's just trying to find something to beat. And I think this is what it is. It would be an epic mistake for him to come back. You know, just cut your losses and come back next year. You know, besides the injury, you haven't taken any other, you know, a lot of tread still left on the tire, I think, with him. You come back strong. You have an entire offseason to get healthy and ready. Yeah, if he comes back, I think it's like Booby Williams' situation in Friday Night Lights. You come back too soon, you're going to end up in a you know, a nasty pile of meat on the ground. So don't come back.
Quick aside, what's better, Friday Night Lights, the TV show, or the movie?
Oh, the TV show, for sure. Texas Forever.
We are in agreement. Okay, take number two. Kenny Pickett is just as bad as Zach Wilson. Now, Zach Wilson has the much worse reputation because of some stuff he's done in the media and just generally how he carries himself. But look at the stats. For each of these guys, more passing yards per game for Wilson. Each guy has 6 touchdown passes in 10 games. Wilson is much better at running the football, but Pickett gets a little bit of a pass. People are starting to catch on a little bit, but he does get a little bit of a pass because his team has a winning record, but they're not winning because of him. And Pickett does have a little bit better of an offensive line. So what do you think of that? That Kenny Pickett is just as bad as Zach Wilson.
God, no, 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 no. He's, Wilson has played some pretty strong defenses, and you're making this take right now after you played the strongest defense. So it's easy to kick him when he's down. One thing that Kenny Pickett does do, and I've bet on the Steelers a few times, Kenny Pickett shows up the fourth quarter. Go look at his splits. And his fourth quarter passer rating is 95.1. His average yards per attempt jumps up to just under 8 yards per pass attempt. He's top 10 in the advanced holy grail metric of QBs, which is EPA plus completion percentage over expectation. He's top 10 in that in the fourth quarter. That's a character trait. That is something that Zach Wilson does not have. Zach Wilson does not step up in crunch time. When the four fingers go up, Kenny Pickett comes to play. He may be dog doo-doo for the first 3 quarters right now, but that's something they can work on. He's got a bad offensive coordinator, Matt Canada. I think if they can bring someone in here to kind of unlock Kenny Pickett, he has what it takes to be a winner. He shows up in the fourth quarter when you need him. So he is a much better option than Zach Wilson.
Okay, some disagreement. We embrace debate here at Before You Bet. Okay, take number three. The talking point that the Dolphins cannot beat good teams is a heavily overrated talking point, a heavily overrated narrative, because all losses are not created equal. So you're telling me we want to kill the Miami Dolphins because they couldn't go into Philadelphia and beat the Eagles? Who else has gone into Philadelphia and beat the Eagles this season? We want to kill the Dolphins because they couldn't go out to Germany, go down to the wire with the Kansas City Chiefs and beat the defending Super Bowl champions? Yes, they did get annihilated by the Bills in Buffalo. I absolutely concede there. But people throw that out there. The Dolphins can't beat teams with a winning record. They talk about this as if the Seattle Seahawks and Minnesota Vikings are coming into Miami and destroying the Dolphins. Big deal. They can't beat the two teams who played in the Super Bowl last year. I do think it's a totally overrated talking point. And you got to apply a little bit of context here, too. It's not like they got killed by those teams. They went right down to the wire with the Kansas City Chiefs. They were within a score of the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia in a game where they were completely injury ravage. Would people be more accepting of the Dolphins if they lost games to bad teams like the Buffalo Bills do? So, J-Lo, what do you think of that talking point that is an overrated talking point? And I think unfair. And yes, I am 100% biased on that.
Yeah, 100%. I was hearing your Dolphins fandom just ooze from you.
You're damn right. You
said all that. I will say it's overplayed. It's like a hit song on the radio. You're just hearing it too much this season. But it is something that kind of holds true. I mean, there's a hump when it comes to the Finns, and they can't get over it. And whether they're winning, or sorry, whether they're losing by close games or they're losing by a lot, they're just not winning those close games. And that's what you want from a contending team. My NFL power ratings that I put together, they're not at a sweet science by any means, but they do have a very top 10 is very much distinct from the rest of the league. And the Dolphins right now sit number 9 there. And a lot of the teams above them are teams that they have lost against. So they just can't get off that hump. The site Team Rankings, they do a good job throwing out some unique rankings. And one thing that they do have is they have teams separated in terms of ranking them versus like the strength of opponent. And the Dolphins are 25th in teams rated 1-5. They're 16th versus teams 6-10. They haven't played any middle tier teams ranked 11-22, but they're number 4 in power rating against teams ranked 23-32nd. So they're like, there's some math here to back it up. You still got to win games. We're not going to get an answer to this because they play the Jets twice, Washington and Tennessee over the next 4 games. But at the end of the year, when you want to figure this out, is it going to be something that tunes them up? Because they play Dallas, Baltimore, and Buffalo, all teams that would rank up in that upper echelon, or at least in that top 10 for me, the Bills just behind them at 10. Is it a good postseason tune-up, or is this going to cost Miami playoff positioning? And that's, you know, and then they've become kind of that team that everyone wants to fade in the playoffs. They remind me of the Chargers a few years back. Chargers did the exact same thing, looked great against terrible teams, looked bad against good teams. Everyone wanted to fade them in the playoffs, and they fell flat on their face.
Okay, so slight disagreement there. Let me hit you with one more, and this is not a big-time hot take by any means, but I'm watching my Dolphins yesterday, and multiple times where it's 4-1, 3-1, and I find myself thinking, if they could only do the tush push, because what are the Eagles? They're connecting on that 9 out of 10 tries or something like that. And then I think to myself, why aren't teams like if you have a quarterback like Tua and there's a handful of other quarterbacks where you don't want to put them in that situation where you're just jamming them into the defensive line, why aren't teams doing this with their fullback or a running back, for instance? And it's not like it's a surprise when the Eagles do it. Teams know what's coming and they cannot stop it. So I think teams should be doing this more often with the running back, maybe a tight end, maybe a fullback. What do you think of that take?
Yeah, I mean, those downs are so crucial. Those third and ones, third and twos, the fourth down tries when you're kind of in that no man's land between punting and going for the field goal. Those are so vital. I don't know why you don't see more teams kind of maybe bring in a big burly backup quarterback. Maybe take that Florida Chris Leak and Tim Tebow approach. Bring in Tebow, run it down their throat for 4 yards. And then, you know, used to see, I think it was Jacoby Brissett did this a lot. In recent years, they would bring in Jacoby Brissett for these QB keepers, and a big body, he could just bust through and pick up those extra yards. Yeah, I mean, they're vital. They're key downs to extending drives. That's what you need to do in the playoffs. So I think you're going to see teams start to focus on those things and kind of have, you know, special teams for short yardage situations.
I do think if the league ends up adapting in a way where a lot of teams are doing that with non-quarterbacks, I think the NFL would look to eliminate it then. I know like some people don't like it right now, but it's like, well, you just got to stop. It's only really one team that's doing it. But,
well, I mean, let's go back to Dolphins history. They were, remember when they had the Wildcat, they ran crazy with the Wildcat for that 1 year. And for about half a season, it worked really, really well. You saw other teams start with Ronnie Brown. They used to do that, but for 8 weeks, that Wildcat offense was nuts. So, and you see teams adapt, and you can move guys around. Why not?
Okay, there we go. Okay, some agreement, some disagreement from J-Lo. J-Lo, we will leave it at that. We have Brad Powers coming right up here. But I'm going to be with you a couple times this week. Of course, I'm going to be on the Sharp 600, and we have a big NFL Thanksgiving Day special coming up. So we will be talking to you there. So we thank you for joining us here today. Best of luck with those bets, and we will catch you again in a couple days.
All right. Thanks for having me. Good luck, Joe.
Yes, sir. The man right there, king of the same game parlay. He's been crushing those lately. Okay. Let's shift gears over to college football. Brad Powers. Brad, did you check out the F1 race on Sunday morning there?
Yeah, I'm glad that you said Sunday morning. I did not. I was watching the back of my eyelids. It was a long college football Saturday, and I tried to stay up, couldn't do it.
Okay. College football, a lot of notable news items out of the weekend. What's the biggest takeaway from you out of this past weekend of college football action?
There's three, and I'll get to them quickly. First, you got to start off with Michigan. Obviously, the biggest game of the year is coming up here, Michigan against Ohio State this week. But let's look back before we look forward. And a Michigan performance last week that left a lot to be desired, to say the least. I mean, this is a game that, you know, you look at the result. Okay, it was a close game. You know, they obviously failed to cover the spread. But even, you know, I would say that they're fortunate to win the game straight up, which is very concerning because they benefited from a defensive touchdown. They benefited from a safety. They were plus the turnovers significant in the game, and yet they only won by 7. This is that was the data point that said maybe they are missing Harbaugh a little bit, especially on the offense side of the ball. That's his forte. So some concerns, to say the least, as we head into this Ohio State-Michigan game.
Okay.
And then quickly, the other two, I'm sorry. I didn't want to talk too much. Jordan Travis's injury, Florida State, significant, probably the biggest injury of college football season. You know, that you got to downgrade Florida State 6-7 points. The intriguing part of the handicap, okay, we automatically play against Florida State this week against Florida. Well, Florida also lost their starting quarterback. So a very tough handicap, that Florida State game this week. And then we did have an historic upset. Unfortunately, it was on my bet. It was against my best bet, Auburn. We lay 22, closes 25. Yay, hooray, closing line value. Didn't matter, to say the least, because New Mexico State is a 25-point underdog, dominates Auburn, wins 31-10. So how often has that happened? A team that's a 24-more-point underdog, win by 3 touchdowns. It's happened 4 times in 40 years in college football. 4 times in 40 years. And just so happens, 2 of the 4 are Jerry Kill against Hugh Freeze. Jerry Kill did this against Hugh Freeze last year, against Hugh Freeze's coaching at Liberty, and he just pulled it off again on Saturday.
Okay, there we go. So let's take a look here at the National Championship Futures Odds Board. Georgia, these odds by DraftKings, by the way, Georgia plus 240, Michigan plus 260, Oregon 600, Ohio State 600, Alabama 700. Then we have a little bit of a gap there. Texas 13-1, Washington 15-1. So we take a look at those top 5 teams, Georgia, Michigan, Oregon, Ohio State, Alabama, and only 4 get into the college football playoff, of course. Who do you think could be the odd team out here?
Well, it's a team you haven't mentioned. Texas, you know, a team that could win the conference and the Big 12 conference, a team with the non-conference win of the season going on the road and beating Alabama. They could be the one left out of the mix here, provided Florida State still takes care of business without Jordan Travis and wins the ACC and is unbeaten. So that would be the team there. Now, out of the ones that you mentioned, obviously Ohio State, because they're an underdog this week on the road against Michigan, would be the most likely scenario there. Alabama still has to play Georgia. They're going to be about a 4-point underdog in that one. So, but let the odds tell you, though, if Alabama were to make the playoff, they'd be one of the favorites, because that would mean that they beat Georgia and they're the SEC champs. So that's why they're still way up in the mix there.
Okay, before we get into your best bets, you have 3 of them. Let's revisit or talk about the NFL draft. We talked about this a couple weeks ago in terms of who's going to go first overall, who the best quarterback is. And over at DraftKings right now, we still have Caleb Williams as the favorite to go minus 400 right now. So a pretty big favorite to go first overall. And we're seeing some red flags from this guy down the stretch. USC is doing nothing but losing. You know, maybe some immaturity by him. He's skipping talking to the media after the game. He's crying after one game on the sideline. You know, I won't kill him too much for that. Kind of unusual, though. You hear about how he wants ownership equity stake in an NFL team, whoever drafts him. So comes off as a bit of a front runner, like a foregone conclusion to him that he's the best player and he's going to win the Heisman. Nope, that falls apart. Foregone conclusion that he's going to be the top pick in the NFL draft, minus 400 right now. But a lot of things can change between now and then. Drake May plus 275 behind him. It looks like it will be the Chicago Bears probably picking first overall, and they likely will start over from Justin Fields. But what do you make of those odds, minus 400 there for Caleb Williams?
I think it's horrific odds, minus 400. Can I bet the no? I mean, that's the only thing. I can't bet the no, because that would be the bet to make there. I'm not sure if it's Drake May or somebody else that rises up on the board. Keep in mind the draft, it can be a kind of flavor of the month, whoever has the best combine, the best pro day. I mean, Caleb will impress there, but I'll say this. If I was a GM, and obviously I'm not smart enough or rich enough or connected enough to be one, I would not take him. There's too many red flags. And obviously all year long, it's been not necessarily they've been losing because of him, because the offense has done their part. I had to tell you, last few weeks, you know, in the Notre Dame game, it started then. And then obviously last week against UCLA, they've been losing because of Caleb Williams as well. The offense hasn't lived up to the part, to say the least. He's been sloppy. Fundamentals aren't there. Mechanics aren't there. It's a playground to him. He's just not buttoned up. Hey, what worked, you know, against Pac-12 defenses, that kind of style of play, hasn't worked this year with the improvement of the conference. And it's definitely not going to work against NFL defenses next year.
Yeah, the narrative's starting to shift a little bit there on Caleb Williams. Okay, let's get into some best bets here. Let's start with LSU. They are favored by 10.5 versus Texas A&M. What are you thinking for this one?
Yeah, not afraid to lay the points here. You know, what's the motivation for margin for LSU? They have it. They want to get their Heisman candidate quarterback stats. They did last week. He's in the game in the fourth quarter, in the game that they're winning by 35-plus. He gets 8 touchdowns. Jaden Daniels probably should win the Heisman, but won't. It'll be Bo Nix. Because he can't help it, he can't play defense. But I think that they're looking for stats. Texas A&M is with an interim coach, playing with a third-string quarterback, making his first career road start. Blowout, LSU minus 10.5.
Okay, next up, the Battle of Arizona. Arizona State taking on Arizona. Arizona favored by 11.5. You thinking favorite or are you thinking underdog in this matchup?
Dog here, and I think a lot of people will be like, how in the heck can you fade Arizona? They're 9-2 against the spread. They've been covering games by an average of 10 points per game this year. Well, I mean, that's why they're a double-digit road favorite against their arch rival. And the two times that Arizona did not cover this year, they were road favorites against Stanford and Colorado, two of the worst teams in the Pac-12. It's a lot different being the hunter than the hunted. I think Arizona State plays one of their best games of the season. Won't be enough to win, but cover the big points right here. Let's take the Sun Devils.
Okay, let us wrap with West Virginia. They are favored by 6.5, taking on Baylor. Who do you like here?
Total play against Baylor. Let's lay the 6.5 with West Virginia. I think this also get in front of a line move that I expect to close at least at 7, if not above a key number. But we're fading Baylor, the worst ATS team in the country that hasn't shown a pulse all year. They have failed to cover the spread by an average of 11 points per game. Their coach should be on the hot seat. He should be fired. It looks like they've waved the. You're looking for teams the last couple weeks of the year that looks like they've waved the white flag. Baylor's one of them. Let's fade them here, West Virginia.
Okay, there you have it. Three best bets from Brad and some great takes as well. Always great chatting with you, Brad. We'll chat with you again this week on Friday because, of course, Thanksgiving on Thursday. We have a big NFL special then, so we will chat to you then. Thanks again for joining us, and best of luck with your handicapping this week.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you, Joe, Mick, and everybody watching.
Yes, sir. All right. Shout out, producer Mick. He is loving that, sitting at home, hitting the buttons. Great job by Mick. Does a good job for us here at Covers. Okay, let us shift gears to the final segment of the show here on Monday. Of course, it is NBA, and no one is more excited than John Mettler, NBA analyst for Sportsbook Review. And John, you and I, 4-0. The Sweet Boys are calling us, John. What do you think of that nickname?
Sweet Boys. I was happy the Orlando Magic got done, you know, and they also put a whooping on the Pacers yesterday. So it was a good weekend all around for betting and being a Magic fan.
Indeed, indeed. Okay, yeah. So the Sweet Boys will try to pick up where we left off on Friday, where we went 4-0. Five total bets for us, John. So let's get into it. I'll get us started off. I have a couple first quarter plays here. The first quarter play, I'm going to take the Miami Heat first quarter money line minus 115 in Chicago versus the Bulls. So awful starts for the Bulls lately. They are getting blown out. In the first quarter, they have a minus 8.8 first quarter point margin over their last six games. Over the course of the season, they are 4-10 against the spread in the first quarter, where they rank dead last in first quarter EFG percentage. And they're 26 in that category defensively. So just god-awful starts on both sides of the ball. This is a hot spot for the Miami Heat. 6-2 first quarter ATS record on the road. For what it's worth, these teams played on Saturday. Miami outscored them by 12 points. The Heat actually went on to lose that game. Here's the thing. Maybe it means nothing, but Miami, they haven't been outscored in the first quarter in the game after a loss yet. this season. So maybe they look to come out strong, bounce back pretty good. So I'll take them on the money line in the first quarter versus the Bulls. John, what do you have for us for your first pick?
Yeah, the Heat could make this Zach LaVine's last game with the Bulls.
Ooh, yes.
They almost did last game they played. My first bet is Kyle Kuzma over 3.5 assists, plus 128 at FanDuel. I think it just moved to plus 124, but still good bet at that number. So there's two things with Kyle Kuzma. So independent of like what I'm going to say about Jordan Poole, I still like this bet on Kyle Kuzma. Even if Poole plays 30 minutes and he scores 25 points, this bet relative to the numbers I really like on Kuzma, because I think the Wizards do need his size against the Bucks front court. They don't have any size to compete against the Bucks. They're getting killed on the glass and stuff. The reason I like this bet even more on Kyle Kuzma is because I do think there's an angle at play here that's not really being accounted for, and we might, because it hasn't happened yet. I think Poole could be not head to the bench, but like if he makes one or two more mistakes tonight, he could see his minutes go down quite a bit. And I don't think we're the only person with that opinion, because we're seeing kind of the marker right now. Poole's numbers are, his assists went from 4.5 to 3.5, and we're seeing Tyus Jones and Kyle Kuzma kind of steam to the over. So I think there is kind of a thought that Poole might not see 30 minutes tonight. So if Poole's not playing, who's going to create offense? And they really don't have, like, the subs for Poole or Corey Kispert, Bilal Coulibaly. Those aren't guys who create for others. They're guys who need to offense create for them, and then they hit the shots. So if Poole's sitting, I think you have Kuzma. Kuzma's been a guy, he's been used as a ball handler in the pick and roll before. I just think they're really gonna have to lean on Kuzma if they're gonna start fading Jordan Poole out of the lineup. And that's the angle I like here with Kuzma. Jordan Poole, oh my God. I don't know if you saw it, but there was, aside from the shooting, which, I mean, if he's not making shots, he's not making shots, but like the effort on a couple of plays in their last game on Friday in the in-season tournament, there was one play he made a cut at the top and he was just coming out to catch the ball and he got beat to the ball. They went the other way and dunked it. I was like, it's not good. They're talking about trading him. I saw some rumors yesterday with that. So I think the Poole era could be pretty quick with Washington.
Well, the Wizards are a very stupid team, John. The Wizards were in a position where they could have just said, okay, we trade Beal. We're waving the white flag. Let's officially go into a rebuild. No, let's bring back Kuzma for some reason. And then let's go trade for Jordan Poole, who I think they thought they were getting a better player. And maybe they're unintentionally waving the white flag here a little bit. But yeah, the Wizards, just one of those teams. They absolutely stink. Okay, let's keep on going with the picks here. Another weirdo first quarter play. Some people don't like these. I love them because you only have to watch 12 minutes of a game, right? Ordinarily, I wouldn't sit down and watch the entire Heat Bulls game, but I'll watch the first quarter. Another one here, kind of an interesting matchup between the Clippers and the Spurs. I'm going to take the first quarter under in this game. It's at 56.5. So these teams have a combined 17-7 first quarter under record. Clippers first quarters this season, very low scoring, averaging just 49.1 combined points. For the Spurs, 54.4, still below tonight's total. And great defense from the Clippers to start their games here this season. Incredibly stingy. They're allowing 23.5 first quarter points. That's the best in the NBA. They are best in first quarter opponent EFG shooting percentage. So I'll take a lower scoring first quarter in that one. Give me the under in the first quarter between the Clippers and the Spurs. John, your final pick for the show today. What do we got?
Another assist prop. So it's going to be Karl Anthony Towns over 2.5 assists. He's playing the New York Knicks. So I bet it at minus 135. I know that Juice isn't necessarily a fan of a lot of people. People prefer plus, but this is actually a really good bet, even though it's minus 135. So for Towns, he, at the beginning of the season, he was trading with a total of 3.5 assists. It's come down to 2.5 because he was going under a bunch. He still hasn't been going over necessarily the 2.5 assists, but the bright spot for Towns is the potential assists are there, and they haven't quite converted yet. Last game, he did have 9 assists. That was kind of the first time we saw it. But he was averaging 3.3 potential assists the first, 10 games. I think his last four games, he's at 7.8 potential assists per game. So that's a huge jump. So for when you're averaging 7.8 potential assists, that should definitely convert to an over 2.5. For Towns, specifically against the New York Knicks, and like kind of how he's getting those increased potential assists. So at the beginning of the season, the Wolves were running a lot of like double drag screens up top with Edwards on the ball, and then Gobert was rolling to the rim and Towns was popping out for three. nobody's really coming out to guard Towns. They're just kind of giving him that three. Well, he's making the shot now. So the defense has to come out now, and he's good enough to put it on the floor and he can go to the rim. So now that he's making the shot, the defense comes out, he's going to the rim. Someone like, why specifically like this matchup, is someone like Randall should be able to like contain him, and he's going to be physical with him. So once he starts getting those body bumps from Randall, he'll probably look to kick on those drives. The other thing too, in their last game against the Pelicans, because I went back and watched because I wanted to see how he got 9 assists, they're running a lot of dribble handoffs where they're kind of getting Towns in the post a little bit, and then they give it to Towns, and Anthony Edwards was running dribble handoffs off of him. So those are, like, for Towns, those are easy assists. That's just playing with a great teammate type thing. Like, he hands the ball to Edwards, he takes one step, lays it in, or he banks. He, you know, Edwards has that nice little bank shot or the mid-range jumper. It's, he's getting credit with assists, but they're pretty easy. It's more on Edwards who's making the shot. So they've changed their offense a little bit, and it's really helping Towns with the assist side. And at the -135, I know some people don't like minus. It is a great price though.
Okay, next up, let's talk Rockets Warriors. And John, I want to get your opinion on the Warriors after I give out this pick, but I'm going to take the Rockets to cover this spread at +7. I think they're being very, very undervalued in this game. And the Warriors are getting way too much respect based on their reputation. This team, quite simply, is not good right now. One of the worst offenses in the NBA this season, 26 in EFG shooting percentage. They're way too dependent on outside scoring, as they rank last in the NBA in points in the paint. Houston, on the other hand, they're getting judged based off their reputation, but they've been pretty good this season. Very hard to pull away from. They're on a stretch right now that's seen them go 7-0-1 against the spread. 6-0 ATS as an underdog during that stretch. They haven't lost by more than 7 points since October 29th. And the Rockets, quite simply, have been better in many key areas. EFG percentage, both offensively and defensively. They're turning it over less. They're creating more turnovers. They're shooting the three better. And you might say, Joe, they're in the second game of a back-to-back. You know who else knows they're in the second game of a back-to-back? The people who set this line. Being in the second game of a back-to-back is not the death sentence people make it out to be. So I like the Rockets to give the Warriors a game. And let me ask you, John, the Warriors, the championship window looks like it's really, really, really starting to close. You know, we gave them a little bit of a pass last season because they were coming off winning a championship. But this team is getting a lot older now. Klay Thompson looks like he's completely washed up. Andrew Wiggins does not look like he's going to return to the form that he had in the playoffs when they won the championship. So what do you think of the Warriors going forward here?
I think they're going to be in an interesting spot because I think the core deserves to kind of be able to go for another championship. But like you said, the roster's not quite there. So I think the question they have to answer is Jonathan Kuminga going to be a starter for this team, or is Jonathan Kuminga going to be a trade chip that they use to get another piece into this team at the trade deadline or something like that? I think, like, do they move Wiggins and Kuminga somewhere else for another star? Andrew Wiggins, you brought it up. Andrew Wiggins, he's kind of like in that Jordan Poole. There's like a handful of players where, you know, I highlight a lot where a player's struggling, their total points total comes down 4 or 5 points. I think this is the spot we can take the over and take advantage of the lower total. Andrew Wiggins' point total has been like coming down all season, and I haven't even seen a spot where it's like, this is a good bet. And then they were out Draymond and Steph Curry, and I was like, surely Wiggins, this has to be the spot for Wiggins. And it's just, I mean, he had a good shooting game last game and stuff, but man, he's been not the same player. So I think Kuminga, that's really the question with them, is are they keeping Kuminga or trading Kuminga? And that's, they do have the trade pieces where they could go get another if someone's available. So
yeah, they might have botched the they were trying to kind of bridge like the future with like the present, the core of the present, with Wiseman, and he of course got traded to the Pistons, and Kuminga we still don't truly know yet, but I do think that they would like to see a jump in his play here as the season goes on. But hey, the season is young. John, we will leave it at that. We'll see if we can be the sweet boys again here sweet tonight boys. And go 5-0. Now, I'm not banking on that. I would take a 4-1 as long as we're in the black here tonight. But John, thanks again for joining us, and we'll catch you again later in the week on Before You Bet.
Sounds good. I hope we get the sweep.
Sweet boys, sweet boys. What you gonna do when we come for you? Yes, okay. 53% of the chat is on the home team, Kansas City Chiefs, coming in at minus and a half. I think there's some threes out there. That's what J-Lo gave out. So if you like the Eagles, you're going to want to get on that three. Okay, recapping my best bets. Second half under 23 and a half. You might think that's a weird bet, Joe, to place before the game. Well, guess what? The Kansas City Chiefs have gone under the second half total in every single one of their games this season. I like Pacheco to go under his rushing yard total of 49 and a half. And a bit of a weirdo one, Kadarius Toney to go over 6.5 receiving yards. J-Lo did give out the Eagles plus three. He likes Hurts to be taking off here quite a bit. Maybe being chased out of that pocket over 8.5 rush attempts. Okay. Very big week coming up here. Before you bet, we're going to be doing a NFL Thanksgiving Day special. We're probably going to have that up on Wednesday night, actually. We're bringing in a bunch of different guests from the sports content world, some familiar faces that are on the show, some who will be on the show for the first time. So we're looking forward to that. And of course, on Friday, we'll have the big show as well. So make sure you like, make sure you are subscribed so you don't miss anything here on the Covers YouTube channel. That does it for Monday show. Best of luck with your bets tonight. We will see you again next time.